Welcome to LSE Limelight from the Beaver Sound, where we unfold the best stories from students around LSE. With me, Emma DuCarvalho. Today we're speaking with the co-founder of the Justice for All journal, Angana Narula. Enjoy the episode. Today we are talking about a very exciting production from one of our very own LSE students. So we're joined by Angana Narula, who is the co-founder, op-ed, and photography editor for the JFA Human Rights Journal, so the Justice for All Human Rights Journal. And Angana has just completed her master's in human rights. So thank you for being here today. Would you like to start off by telling our listeners what the JFA is and how it started off?
Hi, yeah, thank you so much for having me today. Yeah, the JFA originated at the LSCSU Amnesty Society. So at the beginning of 2018 was kind of focused on trying to get the annual journal from an online space as a PDF to an actual print edition that could be read by the LSE community, that was a physical copy that people could hold. So we published our first edition in May and have recently gone independent in August. So we are now an independent publication. Our main focus is to bring key human rights issues to light, and we just want to encourage young new voices to explore essentially what justice means to them.
Congratulations, it's an amazing project. And what makes you unique as a journal?
I think what makes us stand out from other publications is that we want to tell stories that is true to the people that are telling them. So our platform sort of allows people to tell stories in whatever format they choose, whether it's an op-ed, whether it's an investigative piece, a photography collection, poetry, or artwork. We think there's stories to be told in all sorts of mediums. The stories that have been published currently are about, you know, amazing topics like CO2 colonialism, concentration camps and the legacies of that in the USA, threats to indigenous populations. So yeah, we're just on the hunt for diverse stories and new perspectives on human rights.
So the JFA is an amazing creative and professional project that you started at the LSE. Would you say that LSE as a university environment was supportive in helping you carry out your plans for the JFA?
I think definitely. We were very lucky to get funding from both Amnesty International Society and the LSCSU, which allowed us to print as many copies as we did and, you know, allowed us to make this wonderful project of ours fairly accessible. I think a challenge was getting the word out initially that this is a project that we're trying to do. I think because people couldn't really conceptualize it, people were contributing, but they weren't necessarily sure what they were contributing towards because this was one of the first projects of its kind. So the challenge initially was definitely trying to get people on board and allowing them to trust us and our voice.
So since LSE was such a supportive environment in helping you with this, why did you decide to become independent?
That's a really good question. We felt there was more stories to tell. We felt like there were sectors of the community that we wanted to reach, but weren't necessarily located in the LSE. For instance, an issue that we're really trying to cover at the moment is of homelessness. And if we were to have localized it at the LSE, there is very little firsthand perspective we could have gotten from the homelessness community. So in terms of us going to interview a young homeless person or sort of try to get a perspective on what it is like to not have the right to shelter or food or finances. So I think with the launch of the publication, we realize there is a potential to explore more and to grow more.
So recently, obviously, there's been a massive increase in youth activism globally. A lot of the content that you produce is very exposing and very raw. And I'm just wondering, how do you personally cope with a lot of the emotional frustration that comes with having to deal with that kind of content and activist burnout as well?
That's such a good question. I think fundamentally, take time for yourself. I think it's so important not to let your cause consume you or become 100% of your identity. I think personally for me, it's incredibly important to set those boundaries between work life, social life, family life. Not every TV show or movie or book that you read or consume has to be about your cause. It doesn't have to necessarily be about what you're fighting for or what you're fighting against. I think setting those boundaries for yourself is incredibly important, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you are not going to be able to give it your all when it actually matters, in terms of whether your vehicle for fighting these issues is content production or whether it's taking to the streets. If you're not mentally well, you're not going to be able to fight.
So this podcast is going out to mainly a student community. What would you say is a human rights issue that you're very passionate about that isn't necessarily receiving the media attention that it deserves at the moment?
I don't want to prioritize any one issue over another. I hesitate to rank human rights abuses by importance, because I think fundamentally with any rights-based issue, whether it's in Chile or in Kashmir, that people and individuals are being harmed in the process. That being said, a really interesting issue that a lot of people may not know about is Mauna Kea and the 30-meter telescope that is currently being built on the tallest peak. It's currently going on in Hawaii. I think this is a really important issue because it touches on really interesting issues such as indigenous rights and sovereignty and environmental justice, because the building of this telescope will not only disrupt indigenous livelihood, but also the fragile ecosystem.
And I actually learned about this issue on your Instagram page, so thanks for that. And everyone should definitely go check it out. You guys do a weekly This Week in Human Rights, kind of like Instagram story section of the Instagram, which I personally really love. And then my final question was, what direction are you hoping to take the JFA in the future?
We want to continue to produce print editions every year. I think that's a very fundamental goal of ours. We also want to grow our online platform to become this community where people can share their perspectives and share their stories and feel safe knowing that there are people behind them, you know, pushing for their success and pushing for their stories to be told.
Thanks so much, Rangana, for the conversation, and it was great having a chat with you. I'm sure a lot of our students are going to be super interested in how they can get involved or where they can find you. Where would you direct people who are interested in learning more?
Well, if you're interested in reading some of the content up on our website, we are thejfa.com. If you're interested in contributing, don't hesitate at all to email Angana, A-N-G-A-N-A, at thejfa.com. My inbox is always full, but I always reply within 1 to 2 business days. Our Instagram is at JFA_mag. We are at JFA_mag on Twitter, and we are the JFA Human Rights Journal on Facebook.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. The fantastic music was by Ashley Leo Massing. Our interviewee was Angana Narula, and your interviewer has been me, Emma Du Carvalho. If you're interested in getting involved, just check out The Beaver online.